Hello everyone, you're listening to a special edition of the Geek News Center podcast coming to you almost live from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. I am the Geek from Geek News Central, and my name is Todd Cochran. It is mid-morning, January 4th, 2005, and on the line I have Stephen King from Marquee. We're going to be interviewing him this morning on the Marquee Content Management System, and we're going to be talking about his paid-for-weblog program. As a disclaimer, I am a paid-to-blog weblogger from Marquee. All of the questions that we're going to ask Stephen this morning have not been subject to review by Marquee and were created and solely by me. They have not been allowed to. They're not going to be allowed to listen to the program until we release it, and we are not going to cut any part of the conversation. I will do some leveling for audio, but that is all the editing that we're going to do on the interview. So questions, I hope, are give you an honest assessment of what Marquee is all about, and I think that companies that are out there thinking about hiring webloggers may find this to be one of the most important podcasts that you, or one of the most important audio programs that you'll listen to. Saying that, let's go ahead and get into the interview. On the line this morning with me, I have Stephen King, the CEO of Marquee. How are you this morning, Stephen?
I'm great. And you, Todd?
I'm doing good. I thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us this morning. And I know that you guys are busy after the holiday period catching up with everything. But I did want to take a few minutes to go over a few questions with you on Marquee and your content management system. Initially, I'd like to ask you to give me a little background on yourself so that everyone gets an idea of who you are and go ahead and just give me that background on yourself.
All right. I don't want to take up the whole 30 minutes with that. I think the sort of essence of it is I'm English. I grew up there. Actually went to the London School of Economics and then did a master's degree in computer science and started my life almost being forced into training as an actuary. And I ended up running away from that very quickly and signing on with a company called STC as a software engineer, doing teletraffic and systems engineering for the British telephone system, which was then called System X.
Oh, very interesting.
I left the UK and ended up traveling mainly all over the world, doing a variety of computing and software engineering jobs, and landed on the island of Guernsey, of all places, which is just off the coast of France, where I managed the Middle East and Africa for a company called Tektronix, which you probably know for oscilloscopes, but they also had color printers, workstations, some of the first Unix and networking workstations, and television products back then. And basically that's where my career grew up, and I ended up working for the CEO of that company in Oregon some 14 years later. And I ended up leaving Tektronix after a great period of time with them and did a startup in the Valley in the video space called iMedia, which was focused on transcoding digital video so that, you know, it could either be broadcast over the web or, you know, in one output form and then be transcoded to the available bit rate on the viewer side, and ended up that being a big success with cable companies who obviously wanted to pick and choose from their multiplexes in the sky for delivery to a variety of consumers, different program types. We termed a thing called remultiplexing, and we called the product the cherry picker for that reason, and ended up selling that to a company called Terrion, where I worked running their cable business. Left there and then did a turnaround called Merint, which is in the software change management and content management space, which we sold to Serena last year, and almost at the same, sort of synchronistically, almost the same day as that deal was done, I got a call from what was then called Maestro and is now called Marquee.
Right. And I was reading your bio, and it looks like you're pretty well known for your being able to do good things for companies and the profit margin wise. So I'm glad to see that Marquee called you. And so, what I'd like to do is have you explain basically the makeup of Marquee and the basic overview of your product line.
Okay. Well, maybe by way of history, like I said, when I looked at the company, which was in June of last year, it was a participating in what you might call the hosted CMS space, content management space exclusively. And I went up to visit the company in Vancouver, which is where the engineers and development's all done, in British Columbia. And in looking at the product, it became clear that whilst it does a pretty good job, a very effective job of content management, as good as most out there, the way it had been organized and designed was, rather than looking at the web as an isolated problem set, the founder of the company, Thierry Levasseur, had looked at the web as one of a variety of outputs that a company has to deal with. And so if you think about the subtle difference there, what it means is if you approach that problem from that sort of more holistic viewpoint, you end up with the notion of a product that you can input information into once, content of whatever type, and then essentially what it does, to use my video vernacular, it transcodes that information, in fact literally takes it down to a bitmap, and resends it back out in whatever output the receiver wants. So the website, the blog, the Word document, you know, whatever those formats, but also into that look and feel as well. So that's sort of the essence of the product, and it does that under version control and workflow, which means that you can always roll it back, you know what's where, and who gets to improve which of those output devices gets, you know, which particular version of the document or text you're trying to send. And so rather than continuing to look at what you might call the general content management space, we chose to approach what we now call communications management, which is this exactly the problem I just described, which is how do you take a piece of information that you could input once and have it repurposed and ready under workflow and version control all the way through to, say, an individual salesperson's email campaign or any of that type. And the problem, it turns out, is very compelling, because even in a very small company, we find they have issues, for instance, of, I want to input a textual document, and I want that to go to my web, post it to my web, I want it to be a press release, and I want it to go out in an email newsletter to my subscribers. And up until this point, that's really been, I've, you know, had to re-enter that information three times.
As I've use your demonstration program, I guess I've been initially impressed with the versatility of the program and just that, the, you know, being able to do the work once and have the system package it any way you really want it to, and also staying, like you said, with a version control. I know there's been many times I've made a mistake on a website and wanted to go back, and I basically had to dig into backups, but you've made it simple enough. It's reverting is as simple as a click of a button. It's pretty amazing.
Well, you're absolutely right, Todd. And one of the things, whenever I do a press interview with, you know, traditional journalists, I always say, what was the last time you had a company rescind a press release? And up until this point, every one of them has said this week or yesterday, you know, in a very, and that's a symptom of this problem.
Right.
Is how to effectively control that communication process.
Who would be,
the company itself, you know, asked about that. We are now, we have 30 employees. And we are distributed between Vancouver, B.C., where we do most of our engineering and support, and Portland, Oregon, which is where, you know, marketing and our telephone sales operation is.
Okay, terrific. Who would be a typical customer of
Marquee and their content management system, or communications management system, excuse me.
Right. Well, either. I mean, they both begin with a C, right?
Right.
So, like, acronym. Well, what we've chosen to do is, as you might imagine, ultimately, we think this could be a very ubiquitous tool that could be used in many, many areas. And in some ways, our model for it is something like Macromedia Flash, you know, but as a service.
Right.
It became very ubiquitous. And that's one of the reasons we paired up with Mark Cantor in the first place. Was because I think, who was a founder at Macromedia, and I think that he did a great job, that company did a great job of sort of virally getting their product out there. So we see it going in all sorts of different directions. However, if we as a company do go after that, we'll become very defocused. So we've been focused on three segments at this point. One is associations, member-based associations, both for and not-for-profit. Meaning, you know, these organizations that have a high degree of need to communicate to their members. The second would be franchises, where part of the communication message comes from head office, part comes from the local franchisee, et cetera, and how do you bundle that together and keep that consistent. And then the third is travel and tourism.
I know from your website that the people are employing the product in a variety of ways. Can you just give me a couple of examples of how they're using the product?
Well, we have people using it from, you know, as simple as their main use being an email engine, basically, where the primary communication method that they're going out to their subscriber base is email, and, oh, by the way, that's posted to the web. We have people that are primarily using it for website management. And we have people that don't use the web at all. We have some people that basically take their inputs and use those inputs to build a word-based document. So in a sense, it's sort of like a community blog that instead of creating a blog site, creates a physical document at the back end.
Right.
So those are the types of activities we see people using it for today.
Oh, terrific. Which areas of the marketplace do you want to grow market share in?
Our primary focus, as I mentioned, is on the three segments I mentioned before, and we're seeing very good growth in those areas. We now have 200 customers, so we're off to a pretty good start, and in addition to that, we're also looking for growth through channels more so than through our own efforts, either, you know, partners in given segments. One interesting was, we came across a deal in a chamber of commerce, and as we did that, we found a company that exclusively focused on chambers of commerce. And so we said, well, you take that. You know, here's our tool. You go after that segment. And the other would be sort of more of an OEM play, where people embed our tool server, our tool service, if you like, into their offering. And one of the benefits of being a service, not an actual software product, is they can pass it through as part of their offering, and they don't have the usual encumbrances of having to support, install, and manage that.
Stephen, as I was going through the product demo and trying to dig deep into this thing, it appears to me that the product is kind of designed or kind of focused towards larger companies. Has Marquee considered a solution for smaller companies, you know, the small mom-and-pop shops or under 25 employees type organizations?
Yeah. And I think that that's the problem we're having is that that's more a fault of the demo than the product. And what we attempted to do in the demo, which is sort of our little Jetsons characters, is that what you're referring to?
Correct.
Yeah, what we're trying to do in the demo is show the degree of complexity the product could manage. And unfortunately, that gives the impression that you have to have that degree of complexity to use the product. It turns out that, as I mentioned, we have customers that are simply or basically doing email, a Word document, you know, like a press release, and going to a website and managing some of the, you know, the more structured content on their website. And our pricing reflects that because our pricing starts at $199 a month. So it's very easy to get into. You can do it out of your expense base. It's not a big upfront fee, and then you can scale. So it's certainly a product that we see aimed at sort of every man, if you like, and we've priced it that way, and I think that we'd like to be more ubiquitous. I think actually it's the large companies that probably would not choose to use it, because at large companies they probably have an IT department that's integrated some fairly sophisticated products to do the same thing. You know, areas like content management, document management, knowledge management, email management, they've probably taken those, you know, each one of those is marketing resource planning, for instance. Each one of those is $100,000 or $200,000 application that they've integrated. And it's those companies that probably wouldn't need what we do for $199 a month.
Yeah, moving into a different segment, and I think the thing that amazed me when you decided, when Marquee announced that they were going to pay web bloggers to write about their product, and you're going to allow them to say anything that you that they wanted about the product, positive or negative, was basically a pretty risky proposition. And what kind of made you go down that road to decide that decision? And as, and myself, as one of your paid web bloggers, I think it was important to me that we were allowed to be able to speak freely to keep the integrity towards our listeners and our readers.
Right.
So what was your what was the outlook when you initially went into this?
Well, it literally this started over a dinner conversation with Mark Cantor, who I mentioned earlier. And where it came from was my feeling is, a personal opinion, is that very few decisions are made in this world without the decision maker talking to the brightest person they know in a given area, right?
Correct.
To what you would term probably the geek world. And so we had to get out there and influence that world around our tool, because I didn't see decisions being made without that audience. Plus, these are the people they're going to use our tool to build out solutions, build out the templates, etc. So that's where it started. And when we went out to that world, we didn't want to corrupt it. And so, but we wanted to get attention. And so one of the things we talked about is there's a lot of people out there that are starting these very influential blogs who aren't being paid for it. So why don't we pay them? And the issue really became, well, how do you pay the blogosphere to get value from your product without, you know, imposing in a way that sort of crosses what, you know, the traditional journalists would call the church and state boundary.
Right.
And so we thought about it, and we came up with the idea was we'll pay them, we'll state that we're paying them, we'll make everything public domain. In a sense, our marketing program is public domain because you can see the contract online or anything else. And in addition, we'll let them write whatever they want. Now, why would you do that? Well, firstly, in saying that, it's clear that what's being written is honest and fair, which is important. And secondly, in a sense, if you look at this not just as marketing, but as marketing research, which is typically two functions in a company, you can integrate them as one. So it becomes a whole new kind of experiment in a way, because not only are we getting the product promoted, but we get immediate feedback on the product. So just the other day, there was a write-up that wasn't, you know, from one of our bloggers that wasn't great about our product in some ways, and we had every right to put on our blog what we thought about that, positive and negative. Some of it was right, some of it we thought was a little inaccurate. And the world can do with what that as they want. And that's the whole point, of, if you think about it, of that community. And we have as much right to participate in it as anybody else. But what it does is it starts to redefine marketing. Because now not only is it just a promotional vehicle, but it's also a feedback vehicle. And I think up until this point, those have been two very separate things. Now, it takes you have to have a fairly high degree of confidence, believe me, because you have to be organized in order to respond to those comments. And not only, you know, just in terms of marketing, oh, no, don't believe them, believe us type of thing, but, in, you know, one of the other things we can do is we can go fix our product.
That is true.
Say, you know, thank you for that input. In the next release, we plan on fixing it. It doesn't have to be defensive. And I think when people look at that, they see We have a few mantras in the company. Integrity is one and simplicity is another. Well, hopefully they'll see that coming through about the company. And in some ways, just because there's a negative comment, I don't think people think every product's perfect. We don't certainly don't think our product's perfect. And this is a way for us very quickly to get market input and improve on it. And so it really becomes an attitude, right? Now, I think that there's the possibility of abuse in this whole blogosphere thing. And I've been asked that by many journalists, and I think the crossover point is where it becomes advertorial, where it is not open that what's being written is being influenced.
Right.
And I think that's the crossover point. And I think we have to be very wary not to cross over that line. And we have no intention of doing that in our dealings, but clearly there's going to be a temptation to do so.
I think you're correct. I know that I had pointed out on one of my first articles that there was a concern I had within some of the help files, and when you guys read the comment and on the weblog, there was almost within a day there was an immediate response from one of your engineers saying, okay, this is what we're doing, this is what we've got planned. You know, there was actually a response, there was immediate feedback, and I noted that on the next post review that I did. So I think it, in my sense, what I saw, what I was concerned about, worked out really well. But I guess I wonder, how effective have they been in pointing out positive and negative aspects of the company?
I think that's been the where they've been most effective, is in getting feedback. I mean, as a demand creation mechanism, I mean, it's one of those things, it's like sort of print advertising. It's so hard to know what influence these things have, right?
True.
The leads don't typically, or the information doesn't come back through those channels. But in terms of the direct feedback we're getting, it's been just great.
Good. Now, how have your competitors reacted to this?
The funny thing is, I'm not sure. I mean, I don't really know. One of our views is, and one of the reasons we like to try new things in this area, in marketing, and we've been looking at, for instance, new ways to look at public relations just recently as well, using some of these mediums. I think if you're in the space of talking to marketing professionals, which is what we are ultimately, then you need to demonstrate that you're a creative marketing company. And we think that's worth taking the risk, because as a small company, if we simply keep spending, if we go out and we say, well, we have, you know, $500,000 and we're going to spend X on advertising and X on PR, we'll end up with the same results as everybody else.
Right.
So I don't know how the competitors, we have had a lot of interest from people interested in marketing to the blogosphere or through it. You know, we've had people call and, you know, basically ask us to consult on that, and that's not our business. But, and I think there's people that are trying to be in that business that probably view what we did as a bit disconcerting, because, you know, we didn't use an agency, we didn't use a middleman, we just went straight to this world ourselves.
It probably scares some people a little bit, I would think.
Yeah, well, I think that I think what's going on is that the blogosphere and how it will derive, you know, the whole feed area and some of the stuff you're doing with audio, and if you extend that into video and then you take that into like interactive conferencing and community work and that kind of stuff, it should scare a lot of people. Because I think in many ways some of the traditional agencies, marketing agencies, need to be rethinking the way they operate.
And I agree completely with that statement too.
Because, you know, they're under threat. Just like, you know, the web has redefined all sorts of businesses, and technology has defined all sorts of businesses. I think the marketing services business as a whole needs to redefine itself pretty quickly. Even areas, like I said, like market research. I mean, this is a great example of sort of online market research in the public domain.
do you think that web bloggers and the press have treated you fairly in your decision to do this?
Yeah, I do. I do. In fact, one of the things we're thinking about doing is we're looking at, there's a show coming up. It's sort of an online show called Feedster.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking to work with them on sponsoring a marketing track, because there's never been a marketing track. It's always been for the tech, you know, the technologists. And we were going to put together a debate between our most avid critics and our most avid supporters and facilitate that. Because I think that should be more in the public domain.
My feeling is that more companies are starting to open up, but a lot of companies still remain internalized on their decision process. And I guess if you're externalizing your process a little more, isn't there a concern that the competitors are seeing a side of your company that would normally be internalized? Do you follow the line of thought there?
No, absolutely. And I was having breakfast the other day with a gentleman that was telling me, and it's important to look at the shadow side, which is the risks that are being taken by opening up, right? And there are some downsides, because in the classic sense, the competitive information is more available, right? And strengths and weaknesses. But I think that line was crossed with the web originally, because I don't know how long you've been in high tech, probably. I mean, it seems like I've been in it forever. But I remember you couldn't get any information on a competitor's product.
That's true.
It was so hard. You had to go buy one surreptitiously and tear it apart and all that kind of stuff. And now, it's pretty much public available information. You just go to the website and you can find out whatever you want. And so I think that companies are already operating in a pretty open domain. There's some that still don't choose to, but... And it comes down to not so much the information you have about competitors, but you have to outpace them, you have to outperform them, and you have to outcreate, be more creative. So the world of business is changing in that sense. It's about creativity a lot more than it ever used to be. But I think it's very hard to win by trying to slam your doors shut. And I think some companies tried that at the beginning of the web, and then they got chastised for not even having websites.
Yeah, even though I am one of your paid-to-blog bloggers, I do want to commend you guys on your initiative to do this. And I guess, basically, what is your end goal? I know that the end goal is to get the word out on the product and to get feedback, but do you have what is the goal on this project?
The goal changed. As with many things, you put something out there and it starts to take on a life of its own. The original goal of using the blogosphere was to, like I said, build a developer community. But what happened is that this has moved very quickly into the mainstream. And so now we're actually looking at, well, how do we build this out even faster? And we've been looking at... we're a small company, but trying to enable what I call playpens so that people can come in and use our tool and build out solutions for themselves and up to and including even publishing those. So that we can start to get that sort of viral groundswell going. I mean, it's been, our Google hits went from something under 20,000 to 170,000 in a couple of weeks.
That's unheard of. It doesn't happen very often.
Right.
Unless you're a world event that something is catastrophic has happened.
Yeah. And we know that because Marquee with a QUI is a pretty unique name, so it's not, there's nothing else going on in there. But so in some ways it's become much more of a key part of our go-to-market strategy. And I think, like I said, we're looking at how else? I mean, one of the things we thought about doing was, instead of putting out press releases to journalists, basically putting out an example of one of our outputs is something called an interactive brochure, which is like an area where you can build your own information. So you go out to a journalist or to a blogger and say, okay, build your own story.
Right.
And it starts to, because when you think about PR today, that's all about shuffling paper.
The bottom line, though, for any company is sales. So I guess, have you seen an increase in interest in sales of your product?
Yes. Yes, definite increase in interest. In fact, we've had two resellers call us and basically say on the phone they wanted to get started. They understood where the product fit, much like you. They'd looked at the demo on the website, and then they signed up. I think we signed up something like 50 resellers last quarter, which is a big driver for us.
That's terrific.
And we're at 200 customers. So I think there's good momentum. I mean, still, obviously, there's more to come. And we have to bridge this too. I mean, we have a responsibility. Like I said, we have to bridge the activity in the blogosphere to the benefits of our products and how those two come together.
I think for other companies looking to maybe do something like this, I think that is, you know, important for them to understand that, yeah, it's had an effect, a positive effect for you thus far. And I'll be real curious to see how you guys do throughout the entire program. But I do know that you're still looking to work with more developers.
Yep.
Can you explain the relationship you want to develop with developers?
Yeah, we would encourage developers to take a look at playing with our tool because, you know, all developers are doing development for somebody. And most of those somebodies are companies, and most companies or even nonprofits or associations, we believe, have a need to streamline communications in the way that we discussed at the beginning of this call. And like I said, I have a strong belief that decisions, whilst ultimately are made hierarchically, are very influenced by the smartest and brightest out there. And it's incumbent on us to make sure that those people are aware of what we do and can help get the word out for us.
Okay. Stephen, that pretty much lines up my line of questioning. I guess I'll open the floor to you if you have anything you want to add today.
No, I think we covered just about everything. I mean, we handle both the pros and the cons of the blogosphere thing of what we do as a company, and the future's out there to be had.
And I just want to make a comment of my own for those of you that are developers out there that are listening to the program. If you want more information on the Marquee program, please drop me an email, and I'll put you in contact with the right people at Marquee. And, Stephen, I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us today. I really appreciate that, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to participate in your program.
You're very welcome.
And that'll wrap it up for today, and thank you very much.
All right, bye.
Wow, that was pretty informative, don't you all think? I think going into this, I didn't know what to expect, but Stephen made me kind of realize a few things that, you know, I think there's a lot of companies out there that are on the verge of doing maybe some of the similar things that they are and hiring web bloggers to talk about their products. And hopefully, as he alluded to, this does not become diluted and someone starts weblogging about a product and not disclaiming that they're doing so and inappropriately hyping a product when it doesn't deserve to be hyped. So I think all web bloggers out there need to keep an even keel and make sure that they disclaim who they're weblogging for, if they have a financial tie to it. I always try to do that here, and I try to be objective. But, hey, we want your comments on this one, so send your comments to geek@geeknewscentral.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central. Of course, call the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. If you're a developer looking for work, obviously Marquee is looking for developers, so contact me and I'll get you in contact with the right people. But I know we've had two shows in quick succession here, and I don't know which order you're going to get them in, but we've had two shows for the same day, our regularly scheduled show that went on the air this morning, and then this show, which is going to be published this afternoon here. So, as you can see, I'm still fighting a cold. So, hopefully, on Friday, I'll be back with you with a regularly scheduled show, and our new gear is going to be in, so we're excited about that. Everything is on track for that to arrive Wednesday. And again, for the gang at Marquee and Janet over there who arranged the interview, I want to say thanks to her. And, of course, again, thanks to Stephen for taking the time. I'm Todd, your geek at Geek News Central, and signing off. We'll see you on Friday, folks. Bye-bye.